So during that protected time, no discussion about kids, focus really on the other person and asking fundamental questions like, how do you feel right now? Are you tired? Are you weary? What do you need from me? How can I make your day better? How can I make you better at your job?
Hello and welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. My name is Aaron and I'm your host for this episode. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication and conflict and so much more. We hope you'll keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper and stronger in your marriage. If you're new to us, do subscribe to our Connect to podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We believe you'll discover interesting topics and helpful conversations. We are exploring a very interesting topic today on aligning our goals and dreams as a couple. Now you could be newlyweds or married for many years and still be grappling with the fact that there are sometimes two differing views and visions on how life should be like and which fork in the road to pursue. To help us unpack this further, I'm delighted to introduce Abel Ang, who serves as a marriage preparation facilitator in his church and is now a retired chief executive who is busy working on his travel bucket list. He's a columnist for the Straits Times and his two sons are now standing on the cusp of adulthood. Welcome to the Connect 2 podcast, Abel.
Thank you for the invitation.
Let's begin by sharing a bit about yourself and your station in life with our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am, as you mentioned earlier, I am now retired. Where I am is in a phase of my life or in a season of my life that I'm actually spending a lot of time doing three things: mentoring, investing and teaching. And I'll unpack them along the way. MIT for short. Mentoring is an area that I believe in. I've benefited over the years from people that have gone ahead, people that have taken an interest in me, that have invested in my life, right? So that's the mentoring part. I'm trying to do the same by paying it forward. On the investing side, I do work in the investing space. I invest in healthcare companies and also some personal investments. And then in the last area, I have a faculty position at Nanyang Business School in Singapore, in Waseda University in Japan, and in University of Washington in Seattle in the US. So these are three things that keep me busy. My wife and I have been married for about 26 years now. We have two wonderful boys. One is 23, the other one is 20. So I have plenty of material to work with when I'm writing my Straits Times column. Whether it's funny, ironic, awkward, embarrassing, we have it all. It's quite fun.
Welcome, Abel. To start us off, could you share about a time when you and your wife first discovered that you had differing dreams or goals and how you navigated that as a couple?
Actually, it's quite interesting for me because I have not actually accepted any podcast invites and I was actually planning to reject this podcast invite. My wife got the invitation and my wife was the one that arrowed me to be here. It tells you a little bit, maybe as an illustration of goals and values. So one of the reasons why we kind of came together over the 26 years is we did not start aligned from day one. I think when we first started, we were two different people. We actually met in university and we kind of grew up together from university and over the course of our professional lives. I give one area that we differed. Actually, that's in the area of having kids. I married her. I was actually very clear in my head we would have no kids because I wanted three kids. My wife wanted zero kids. Got married with the understanding you have no kids. But actually, our first child was conceived by accident. I won't go into the details, but he was an accident. And as a result of that, my wife decided, look, we will not have an only child. We will have two. That gives you a bit of a sense of how sometimes you have to adapt and adjust because the original plan that you have may not necessarily be the plan that you live out in reality. And we actually had differing views, as you heard just now. Differing views also when it came to the podcast. She was very inspired by the work that's being done by Focus on the Family. She really thinks that we should support it, but she's very shy. She decided, okay, like I said, this is the first time I've ever done a podcast. Not for lack of invitation, it's just that, you know, I do what my wife tells me to do, and I'm here today. So it kind of gives you a sense that sometimes you have differing views, but you align sometimes because of circumstance, sometimes because of a view that you have, as a network that you have, or something that you want to give back. So sometimes you have to find a way to do that. I'll maybe elaborate that a little bit more, but I think there are even levels of alignment of views and how do we work through that and so on. But we can talk more about that during the course of the chat.
Thanks for agreeing to come on our podcast. In a sense, follow your wife's lead on this. And I hear you say about this alignment, right? You know, like, you have your own personal goals, and then there's probably your couple goals, and coming on a podcast may be something your wife aspires to do, but perhaps not now. But how then you say, this is something I would help her to do at this moment, or this is a goal that I think I want to do as a couple? You know, what made you do that?
This kind of brings me into this alignment. How do you achieve an alignment? So bear in mind that I'm not speaking as an individual here. I'm actually representing our view. So we actually went through last night. We talked for about maybe an hour about what we would say. So everything I said has been vetted by the boss. Okay. The first thing I think is that, and very often we hear in marriage, you need to have a give and take. Actually, for me, give and take is suboptimal because somebody is giving, the other person is taking. Adam Grant has a book about givers and about takers. But when you have a situation where you have a dichotomy of giving and taking, you have kind of like a notion of someone winning, someone losing. Mm. And I think that for me, if you can achieve it, you can get to a fairly good level of a relationship, of a marriage, of a family. But I call that the, you know, using a university example, a 101, right? It's a very basic level of alignment. Then it brings us to what I call a next level, right? So maybe you go to second or third year in university, you take a 201, 301 course. And the 201, 301 course is really shared values, where you actually come together and you agree up front what those shared values look like. And every time you make a pivotal decision, a point of inflection, and you have a fork in the road, you can go left, you can go right, you go back to your shared values, and then you decide, based on the shared values, do we go left, do we go right? I think in that instance, there's no winning and losing because you are following the true north. The true north is your shared values. And of course, the shared values are going to be heavily influenced by your faith. And as a result of that, it's a manifestation of your spouse in the relationship, of where family sits in the relationship. So that's the 201, 301 version. Then we want to propose this concept of a master's level shared values or alignment, right? And the master's level alignment, actually, this one is my wife. So this part, I'm just parroting what she's saying, is blessing and growing each other. Where actually, as you journey along, you are blessing and growing each other and you take an active interest in what the other person is doing. So it's no longer, there's no you or me, it's us. And it's us in a sense that whatever decision you ultimately make, there is this blessing and growing that happens as a result of it. I think that if we can achieve that, and if many of our listeners on the podcast can achieve that, I think we do believe that it'll be a great blessing to many who is not easy necessarily. Just using my wife and I as an example, I don't think we achieve it all the time. I think we kind of cycle through the 101, the 201, and the master's level. But I think that increasingly, especially as we have just recently celebrated our 25th anniversary, we are spending more time in the bubble, which is blessing and growing. And I think that that is perhaps best part of the relationship. It's best part in the sense that now when we sit down together, it's really coming from a spirit of, okay, what can we give into the relationship? So I'd like to use an example, what you call a 60-60 marriage. And I'm sure that this has come across the desks of many before, where it's not one spouse gives 50, the other spouse gives 50, but actually both spouses are giving 60% to the marriage. When anybody falls short, and we are all human, we all will fall short at some point in our lives. Anybody falls short, there's no question of, is there a gap in the family? Because you are more than enough. And the family unit is benefiting from the 120%, 130% of the effort that's put in. And I think that's a great example of this whole concept of, you know, blessing and growing and giving. So just a thought for the people who are listening.
Congratulations on your 25th year of marriage, going through the whole cycle of the 101, the 201, and the 301. And I know some couples, you know, after giving for so many years, they feel like, I've given up so much of myself, and we kind of lost our way. Is there any form of guidance that you can offer, or how can they come together again to communicate, to stay aligned, to stay the course?
Marriage is one of the most rewarding things in life. Yet, navigating marriage as newlyweds or an engaged couple can sometimes get overwhelming. Whether it's managing expectations of the in-laws, getting a good grasp of your family finances, or establishing good habits of communication and healthy conflict. Focus on the Family Singapore's Marriage Preparation Program aims to help you build a solid foundation in the early years and prepare you for the adventure of your life. Visit family.org.sg/C2MarriagePrep for more information today.
That's a great question. And I think that the root of that, where one party in the relationship feels like they're giving and they are maybe very tired, very weary, and they feel lost, I think that that for me is the reason why I say giving and taking is very one-on-one. It indicates to me that someone in the relationship is giving and someone in the relationship is taking. And then you have this asymmetry of who's giving, who's taking. You can have a harmonious relationship, but that does not result in long-term sustainability for a relationship. And then you see a situation like that, where the spouse says, I've given so much, now the kids are gone, there's nothing left. I'm a shell of what I started before the relationship came about, right? And I think that that's why, to your point about the communication, especially because my wife and I spend a lot of time helping young couples bond together and at least get a good foundation so that they can have a foundation for strong marriages after. You know, one thing that we do with them is we spend a lot of time talking about the need for communication. And the communication actually is very simple. It's really no different from a communication like, you know, if you were to communicate with your colleagues here in the office. You have daily communication, you have weekly communication, and then you have an annual offsite retreat that you sit down and you come together to align goals. And actually for us, we have been able to do that. As I mentioned earlier, we are active in the marriage ministry in our church. And that's what we do. Actually, our shared values is now part of this marriage ministry. So every year, when we go back and we do work with the young couples, we review our shared values. So we actually have a written set of marriage set values that we set down, because we cannot tell our couples, you've got to have shared values and not do it ourselves, right? I think that that's not right. So we've done it ourselves. And every year when we are telling them about shared values, you need to write your shared values, we show it to them and we say, these are our shared values. And every now and again, we make a change. Every now we make an addition. But actually, for the most part, the shared values actually have stayed the same, at least over the last 15 years since we had them. I think the first 10 years, it was a bit more rocky at home because we didn't have these shared values as we were going from the 101 stage of the marriage to the 201, 301 stage of the marriage. But now that we have them, it's a chance to review them. So I mentioned that's the annual. But every day, I think it's important for couples to come together to connect. Whether it's the simple daily things, what's working with you, what's not working with you, how can I pray for you, where are you going today? I think that this is very fundamental, especially in an age where there's so much business travel. Everybody is always flying all over the world. And I think that it's very easy for people to be in a relationship, be in a marriage, but actually fall out of touch. So daily, annually. And then the other thing that actually is very, very important is to find some kind of way to refresh the relationship at least weekly. And some people call it, oh, there's a date night. I don't think that we need to necessarily adhere to something like that. I think what we have found in our own relationship is when our kids were a lot younger and they were very needy, it was not easy to have a date night, right? Because nobody to look after the kids. So what we would do is we'd drop the kids off in the morning and we will have a date day. We'll just go to a coffee shop nearby, very relaxed, very easy, have a cup of tea together and just connect without necessarily talking about the kids, right? Because unfortunately, when the kids are young, all you want to talk about is the kids, right? Where they're going, who they're beating, who they're friendly with, you know, what their aches and pains and sicknesses look like. So during that protected time, no discussion about kids, focus really on the other person and asking fundamental questions like, how do you feel right now? Are you tired? Are you weary? What do you need from me? How can I make your day better? How can I make you better at your job? Going back to this giving and growing, if you can operationalize that on a daily basis, literally every day when you're having your communication time, you say, look, and it doesn't have to be long, right? You buy a cup of tea, it takes you 20 minutes to drink it. But I think that investment in 20 minutes a day can go a long way towards achieving that alignment in a relationship.
Yeah, here, you know, we are very busy. And sometimes the things that we talk about is just really the functional, like what's happening this week, you know, what we're going to do this weekend. But when you're having these conversations with your wife, you know, whether daily or weekly, were there moments where you're able to articulate your personal goals and dreams yourself?
I think that that's a great point. I think that's a great point in the sense, and I'll give you a very simple example. My wife has a very interesting career. For the first part of my career, she was the trailing spouse. So my career, this is the give and take, right? My career was the priority and she was the one giving, I was the one taking. That's the first part of my career. And then we moved all over the world and so on and so forth. But actually, we moved into a phase, actually a couple of years ago, she decided when she was 40 to actually go and do a PhD. And I can tell you, studying for a PhD when you're 40 years old is like brutal. It's not something that anybody should do, you know, or certainly not take lightly. What we did as a family was we rallied around her to support her as she did that. This is maybe an example of what I call this sharing and growing, which is really we decided, okay, we will get behind her. And during these 3, 4, 5 years of the PhD, support her to get to a good place. Obviously, she has a PhD now, and she's working in one of the many universities in Singapore. And I think that it's an example of how we have kind of evolved in that relationship, evolved from the giving and taking into the sharing and growing, and really just focusing on who is the priority at that point of time and supporting the person to get to something that will help to increase the sustainability of the relationship, because both parties are now winning as opposed to one person winning and the other person losing.
So you're actually saying that there is a time where perhaps a sacrifice must be made for the other partner, but it's not so much of a giving and taking, right? It's actually saying that these are actually our shared values. Yep. We want you to do well. We want you to succeed in this area. And then we're putting all our efforts behind you to support and rally behind you during this season of your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And this goes back to the whole blessing and growing part, mm-hmm. which is really, obviously, during the period when she was studying, there were a lot more other things that needed to be done. You know, what about the kids? What about the, you know, the family? What about the finances? All these other things. But I think that because of this, we had a shared value and we said, look, this is important for her. This is her time. So what happened was that I picked up a little bit more of the slack. We have a strong family network in Singapore, so we were able to rely a little bit on the family network. Of course, the kids also had a little bit less, in inverted commas, support and maintenance, so to speak. I don't think that the nurturing suffered. Mm. I think the kids are actually better for it. But actually, it was really a family affair. I don't think that anybody lost. I think that this phase of blessing and growing allowed for everybody to actually benefit, as opposed to win-lose, you know, I hate to say it, but you actually grow the pie, right? So everybody wins. Mm. So I thought that was a simple example of how we had evolved from a relationship standpoint.
How often do you recommend that a couple should revisit their shared goals?
I think that at the very least, I would suggest once a year. I'll give you an example of something that we actually have recently instituted. We recently started working on a project together and happy to talk more about it. It's more to support families which are affected by the sandwich generation, we call this, right? Young kids and old and sickly parents. Actually, that is something that resonated with the two of us in the same way that the marriage ministry resonated with the two of us. So now we are both putting our hands to the farm instrument, so to speak, to the plow. We are both plowing on the same track. And it's very cool because what has happened now, because we are doing these various projects together, is that we regularly now sit down together and we have off-sites, like a corporation, and maybe I'm too corporate, but we have an off-site meeting. We will leave the home, we'll leave the kids, we'll go somewhere, nice facilities, coffee, meeting rooms, and so on. And there are many such things with co-working spaces in Singapore now. And we actually have what we call advanced. In companies, they call them retreats, but my wife does not like the word retreat because it feels like you're vacating your position and you're giving up. So my wife calls them advances. I would say this year alone, we've actually had about 4 or 5 of them. And we only have, you know, less than 6 months in the year so far. So actually, almost every month we do an advance. And this is super fun. Actually, we just did one last week, and I'm actually looking forward to the next one already. So, I mean, it kind of depends on where you are in the relationship, how much time you have. We have a little bit more time now that the kids are grown up. I'm looking forward to these advances. They are fun, and it's just a way to get away and just spend time, not just talking about, you know, simple, mundane things, but actually spend time really talking about impact that you can have as a couple in society. And especially, as I mentioned, this generation of adults, families who are sandwiched, right? They have to deal with very young at home, but also deal with this old, infirm and sickly parents, relatives, loved ones. And we are very burdened for this group and we are trying to do something for them.
It sounds like your advances are very exciting. It's something that as a couple, you can work together. You know, it's a common goal. And then at the same time, it's like using your skills and resources as a family. In each podcast, we actually address a frequently asked question that couples have about marriage. And today's question comes from a wife who says, "My husband is a dreamer and an entrepreneur, and he's always looking for the next big project to jump into. And sometimes that requires the whole family, including me, to adjust my work, my family schedules, and even moving from country to country. I wish we could just settle down and stop venturing into new unknowns. But how can I make this known to him?"
I can absolutely understand where this listener is coming from. I would say that early in our marriage, I mentioned earlier that my wife was the trailing spouse. So we moved from Singapore to Europe to Germany, from Germany to the US. This was all in rapid succession in the first 5 years that we were married. So I was maybe the dreamer. I was maybe the person driven by career. And that's why I said giving and taking is not a good model, because obviously from the question you can tell, wife sounds fairly frustrated. I think that one thing I would perhaps suggest is to really have a discussion, to really communicate where you're coming from. I mean, speaking now to the other party, the one that is the dreamer, really it's understanding what is really important for the family. Because I give you an example, for my wife, when we were dragging around to Europe and then on to the US, it was very, very stressful for her. It was all give for her and it's all take for me. And I think we needed to find a way to balance that out. In Germany, it was 100% she giving, I was taking. In US, actually, maybe it became 90% she was giving. So I was able to find a way, or we were able to find a way to carve out so that she could also study in the US while I was studying in the US, right? It wasn't a PhD because she did that later on in life, but at least she did something that kind of refreshed her mind. And it cost us a fair bit, right, to hire nanny, babysitter, and all the other stuff to, you know, look after the kids at that time. At that time, we had only one. But I think it helped. I said that was the 101 level. 201 or the, you know, higher level was really later on in life when we went back to the US again. And actually, I had a job in the US and she was able to pursue her master's, which was the preparation for her to go and do a PhD. I think that one was really one where we had an outcome where it was an alignment of shared values. And I think that it's a journey. And I would say to this person that is asking the question, obviously talk openly about the situation. I think that your average partner in a relationship is not going to be closed. Your average partner in a relationship will be relatively open, especially if they understand what the real feelings and the sentiments underlying them are. It goes back to the point about, can you find a way to get into a phase of blessing and growing? But I can tell you there's no blessing and growing if you're not even doing the giving and taking very well, right? So there is a bit of that scaffolding from a basic level skills operation standpoint, good communication. I think that if you can get to good communication, generally good things happen, right? So back to the point I made earlier, it's daily, weekly, annually, it's really practicing some of these hygiene factors about what are your shared values, so that actually at the very least you have something which is your true north in your relationship. You can say, look, we have shared values. If you have no shared values, then nobody knows where you're heading. And if you don't know where you're heading, then anywhere fits, anywhere works. And that could be the reason why the spouse is dreaming, because there's no anchor on what the family really needs and where the two are really heading towards. So, I mean, these are maybe just some quick thoughts on what this person might want to consider.
Yeah, thanks, Abel, for sharing so authentically about even your struggles that you had with your spouse when you were starting out, and then how you have evolved, actually, from your 101 to, you know, now you are giving and taking no longer, but now coming together with shared values. I think that's something that perhaps our listeners can even start to practice for themselves. Before we let you go, right, do you have any last tip or any last thought for our listeners?
I think that, as I mentioned earlier, one of the things that my wife and I are very burdened for is this sandwich generation, young kids, older adults. So one thing that my wife has been spending a lot of time on is this topic of what happens if you are an adult child looking after your sick parents. And we've seen in our families, even the couples that we journey with, that there's a lot of angst, a lot of uncertainty, because when you have sick parents, especially in a place like Singapore, very medicalized care is always around what the doctor wants. And sometimes what the doctor wants is not what the family wants, but the family doesn't know how to have a conversation with these old people around what do they really want. So she's been spending a lot of time on this. In fact, she's actually dedicated her life after PhD into this area. And I'm a bit of a latecomer in this, so I'm trying to do my bit of the blessing and growing by supporting her. As I mentioned, we are doing our retreats about this. So she's put out a website, a resource, a free resource that helps people who are facing this sandwich generation, facing parents, old parents, sick parents who are in medicalized care, on how to think through and have discussions around what their parents really want. What we have seen from the many people that have used the website is called Careverse. Care as in C-A-R-E and verse as in universe, careuniverse.sg. Like I said, it's free. It's something that actually people can potentially use and hopefully get to a level of peace. What we have seen with some of our couples who have dealt with their old parents, especially in an Asian society, they want to have filial piety, they want to see through the wishes of their elders, but you know, they have so much conflict, and we've seen that bring some relief to people who have had to go through that. And to the extent that it may be useful for some of the people who are listening to this podcast, we hope that it will be a blessing for them.
Once again, we really appreciate you, Abel, for taking time to be with us. We will include the link in our show notes, so listeners do check that web link out. So couple challenge, in each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to do and share with each other. So if you're listening to this podcast with your spouse, here's your challenge. Make a date within the next week to check in with each other about your personal goals and dreams. We really hope you have found today's episode helpful and encouraging. As always, do share this podcast with a friend who might benefit from it. Thank you for listening in, and don't forget, marriage isn't just about enjoying each other's company. It's also about building something meaningful together.